beautiful gemmers out there. It's your girl, Genesis Amaris Kemp. And with me in the hot seat is Tess Ware-Smith. She is a phenomenal woman. And I'm so grateful that you're going to be able to rock and roll in this segment with us. But I'm going to tell you a little bit more about who Tess is so you can connect the dots as we trailblaze this episode. So Tess is a financial coach and the founder of Wealth with Tess, a financial education platform that helps women in their 30s and 40s learn how to grow their money using simple investing strategies so that they can retire comfortably and get their time back to chase whatever dream is in them. After losing a whopping $80,000 in bad investments in her 20s, Tess learned everything she could about investing and built her net worth to $1 million as a single 35-year-old woman. Now, she's helped thousands of women learn how to grow their money, even if they are short on time or a total newbie investor. Thousands of women have attended her free investing workshops. Hundreds of women have joined her small group coaching programs, and she regularly shares simple money tips for free, y'all, on Instagram at Wealth with Less. She's also a VP of operations and on her company's DEI Executive Steering Committee. And for those of you who don't know what DEI is, it's diversity, equity, and inclusion. And she's part of that steering committee. And if you heard me and you've been following me, I always say it takes us coming together with diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging to make this world a better place. So without further ado, let's welcome the woman behind it all, Tess Ware-Smith.
Genesis, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
My pleasure, Tess, and I definitely want to give you the opportunity to connect with the audience in a fun and personal manner. So are you in the mood for either a rapid fire 10 question game or an icebreaker?
Let's do an icebreaker.
Okay. I want you to share something crazy, but yet adventurous and character building that you have done in your life to break the ice.
Perfect. So I graduated into a recession in 2009 and I couldn't find a job. I got rejected from every single job I applied to. So I had been a springboard diver. That was my sport through high school and college. And my old diving coach called me up after I'd been rejected from all these jobs and said, listen, there's a job on cruise ships diving in like a circus type show, if you want to do it. And at first I said, no, I just got my degree from college. Like I need like a real job. And then I couldn't find one. So I ended up on cruise ships. I lived and worked on cruise ships for 3 years. And it was one of the best experiences of my life. It allowed me to meet people from all over the world. The ship I was on had people from 80 different countries working on it. It was just an incredible experience. So as much as I was bummed that I didn't get any of those jobs, I'm so glad I didn't, because that was a very cool experience. And I learned a lot, got to travel. It was very cool.
Wow. That was like, I'm over here just taken back, because it's like diving on cruise ships. That's like definitely totally unique. And you don't hear many people like, yeah, I was a diver on a cruise ship. So thank you for sharing that, Tess. And I think that's really, really cool, because I'm sure you really went to some neat places and got to meet some incredible people from all walks of life.
Yeah, I really did. I feel so grateful and so fortunate all the time. And I stay in touch with some of those people, but people from everywhere. There were people working on the ship from the Philippines, from the Caribbean, from all over Europe, Australia. It was a very cool opportunity to meet and learn and grow, frankly, because I met so many different people from different cultures that I probably would never have been exposed to. So I'm really grateful for that experience.
Okay, I want to ask a follow-up question here. So knowing what you know now, going on cruises pre-pandemic, okay, post-pandemic, would you have taken that same opportunity?
Yeah, I would. I think that cruise ships have pros and cons, but I still think it's an incredible way to travel for some folks. And there's certain cruises that can get to places that you can't get to just on a regular vacation. So one of the cruise ships I did went through different inside passages in Alaska. So you got to go to cool places that you can't really access. So as much as I, you know, I like to travel, and I personally don't travel via cruise ship. I like to explore a little bit more, but especially if you have a big family or big group or older folks, you know, there's still, I still think there's a lot of merit in cruise ship. So I definitely would go back, and knowing what I know now, it was such a fun experience. I would go back and work. I wouldn't necessarily travel a lot on cruise ships, but it was cool. I would do it again.
Wow. And thanks for sharing that. So there you have it, audience. She would do it pre-pandemic as well as post-pandemic. So get on a cruise ship if that's your forte. And now we're going to segue into what she is doing now. And it's all around investing. And her avatar in this space is women in their 30s and 40s, and just really helping them invest in the right spot. And I'm definitely in that age range. So one of the things that I want to ask Tess is because is it, let me say this, because you know how people say, hey, you need to pay attention to where you're investing your money because, you know, you could just invest it in a pipe dream and it may not be rewarding to you. Whenever in actuality, sometimes when you invest in things that other people aren't investing in, that's when the thing is going to boom, is what I've heard. Like they say, oh, get out of Bitcoin. And that's when some people get in Bitcoin, or they say, don't invest in that stock because it's going to crash. And then that's when you see, you know, the one percenters investing in that stock, and later on down the line, it booms. So do you think that sentiment is a myth or fact?
Yeah. So I would say the sentiment that you can accurately time specific investments is a myth. And most of the best investors in the world, Warren Buffett, John Bogle, people that are famous in the space, they all say that nobody can time the market. And just to give you an example, over the last year, this is August 2023, we've had multiple big banks, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, the St. Louis Reserve, all these big companies and organizations that have incredible people on their staff and incredibly smart people. And all of them have said, oh, there's going to be a recession for sure. And so a lot of people pulled their money out of the stock market. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what you did, the market's actually up quite a bit this year. As of right now, it's about up 14%. And a lot of people thought it was going to crash, and so they stopped investing. So if the most brilliant banks and organizations can't accurately time the stock market, I think it's safe to say that the average investor probably doesn't have much of a leg up either. And so when it comes to investing, my perspective is, the best way to invest is to pick a few investments that you understand and invest consistently over a long period of time, knowing and expecting that there are going to be stock market fluctuations. We should expect a couple recessionary events in our lifetime. It's going to happen. It's not a matter of when, if, but when. So for most people, the best strategy is going to be invest consistently over a long period of time and try to tune out the noise of the doom and gloom headlines of recessions or this and that, because there's always that stuff sells, right? People love to hear the drama. So magazines and media outlets, digital media outlets are going to keep printing that. But at the end of the day, no one has a crystal ball. So the best ways to invest, once you learn the basics, is to consistently invest over a long period of time and not worry about what the market is doing or what the news says.
Love it. And the other follow-up question I want to ask, because I forgot to do it in the beginning, is what did you actually get your degree in?
So my bachelor's degree is in marketing with a minor in finance, but it's corporate finance, which is totally different than personal finance, right? So I think a lot of people think, oh, like you must have an understanding of that. And I actually work with a lot of people in corporate finance on their personal finance, and it's a totally different field. So that didn't happen for me until later.
Okay, awesome. And let's differentiate the two for the audience here. Personal finance and corporate finance, because sometimes people say, oh, well, I'm really good at it in the corporate space, and I'm sure I could be good at it in the personal space. But I think whenever you correlate it to the personal space, your wants and needs are different, and it's your personal money. Whereas in corporate, you have other people's money that you're leveraging. So the consequences may be totally different versus your personal consequences. Can you dive into that for a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So depending on where you're at in the corporate finance space, corporate finance is really about making the best decisions to grow a business, sell a business, whatever it is, to make sure your business continues to grow and against whatever goals you've set. When it comes to personal finance, it is personal finance is personal. And it's really important in the same way that you set goals for your business, you want to set goals for yourself. But then as far as how you go about achieving them, that depends on all kinds of different things, including not just your goals, but your risk tolerance. It depends on your education level. And one of the best things about personal finance and investing is that you can learn what you need to know to invest in a matter of weeks, not months. Corporate finance can be much more complicated. Personal finance and investing, it's more meaty of a topic because it's emotional, right? It's your money. There's a lot of psychology involved. A lot of people have complex relationships with money, which is much different than if you're working for a business, you know, it's not your money, like you said, Genesis. So when it comes to personal finance, there's a lot of layers to it that aren't necessarily just investing and saving. It's your money mindset. Do you believe you're worthy of money? Which you are, by the way, if you're wondering, you totally are. It's your birthright and you deserve to have money and to be wealthy. So it's really about getting over your own mindset and your own drawbacks or your own negative money stories that you might have, and then starting to figure out what steps you can take to make enough money so that you can live the life you want. Because at the end of the day, money doesn't necessarily buy happiness. I believe that. But I also believe that it's a tool to create freedom, independence, options, flexibility. For many of the women I work with, it's about being able to leave a toxic job, get out of a relationship they don't want to be in. It's so much bigger than just money. I don't teach women about money because I'm passionate about going home and counting my dollar bills and like buying Ferraris. I'm passionate about women having options and flexibility to live a life that feels good to them, to design a life, to have safety and security, and then chase whatever dream is in them.
Now let's talk about that vehicle there of them having money and what those investment options look like, especially for someone who is short on time. They're like, oh my gosh, I wasted all this time. Here I am in my early 30s, mid 30s, late 30s, or approaching 40 and 40 beginning, middle, and end. And now they're like, okay, I need to allow my money to be a vehicle to work for me and me not work for money. What are some ways that we could help those women really get into this space and they do it confidently, they have security, and they also have the right relationship with money, which is that mindset piece?
Yes, absolutely. So my favorite way for most women to learn how to invest and to start investing is to use retirement accounts, which are accounts like 401ks, IRAs, which just stands for individual retirement accounts, and figure out what accounts work for you. And the reason why those accounts are so important is not just because they help you save for retirement, but they also help you save thousands in taxes over time. So the first step is kind of figuring out what retirement accounts can you use to save on taxes. And then inside those retirement accounts, which are just containers for your investments, you can choose some really simple investments. And my favorite investment to start with for anybody, and even for advanced investors too, are index funds. And index funds are just an investment that you can buy that holds a bunch of different stocks. So instead of trying to specifically time the market and see what this specific company is doing and read their financial statements, you don't have to do any of that. With index funds, you get the option to buy a big basket of stocks with just one investment, which makes it much easier because then you're not, you know, trying to pick stocks. So for me personally, I've done all different kinds of investing. I've picked stocks, I've done options, I've done real estate investing, and investing in index funds is one of the easiest and most accessible ways to invest for anyone. Even if you don't have a lot of money, you can start investing with $10 because there are things called fractional shares now, and you can set up automated investments into these index funds. So index just means list. So really it's just a list of stocks that track the performance of a piece of the stock market. So what's nice is that there are index funds called total stock market index funds. I just posted a reel on this on my Instagram at Wealth with Tess. I just posted a reel like just an hour ago, Genesis, on the total stock market fund. And basically, if you don't want to buy individual stocks, you can buy an index fund that holds almost every single stock in the entire stock market. And what's great about that is that not only are you not having to choose and you don't have to have decision fatigue and do a bunch of work, but you can set up investments on autopilot. And then that total stock market investment on average returns about 10% year over year historically. Oh, wow. So that's a great option for people that want to get started, but they don't know what to pick. Most people that pick stocks don't actually do that well in the stock market. So I think that's a great one to start with, is something like a total stock market index fund. So if you're getting curious about this and this sounds interesting to you, go to Google, type in total stock market index, and you'll start to learn a little bit more about what that is.
Yes. And check out her video on Instagram, Wealth with Tess, TESS. Another thing that I've heard some people say around investment is annuities. Have you tried any annuities? Like, there's fixed annuities, there's variable annuities, and et cetera. But like one of my advisors said, go with fixed annuities. So whenever the market goes up, your money goes up. Whenever the market goes down, your money does not go down. But it's more so tailored towards older people, because when I went to this seminar, it was a lot of silvers. And y'all, when I say silvers, I mean like the pretty white hair, silvered head people. And it was totally new to me, because I've always invested in the 401ks or other things, not annuities. And being 32 years old, I'm like, oh, I didn't know something like this exists. And it's good to have diversity in wherever you invest. But you're a SME in this area, so spill the tea.
Yeah, so I have really specific feelings about annuities and any kind of product like whole insurance or permanent insurance or indexed universal life insurance. These are all different products that have an investment element to them or a cash value element to them sometimes. And so an annuity is like creating your own pension. You can invest and then it'll pay you back. Or if it's a indexed annuity, it'll grow with the stock market, like you said, Genesis. Not all those investments are bad. The problem is a lot of them have incredibly high fees, and it takes a while for you to be able to access that money. Sometimes that money is locked up for a long time. And so while, like you said, a lot of annuities are usually a better fit for people in their 50s and 60s, my personal opinion on this is if you're young, if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and you're investing, annuity might not be necessary for you, because you can start investing in the stock market and your money will compound over time and you won't have to pay the fees. If you learn how to invest in index funds, which is a very low fee investment, which is why I like sharing a lot about it, you can save a lot of money. So one of the things that I think people don't necessarily correlate with investing is that one of the best ways to grow your money quickly is to save money by investing in retirement accounts, because you save on taxes, and by investing in things like index funds, because the fees are really low. So I'm not going to ever make a blanket statement and say, I don't like all annuities, they're all bad. Never, it's never that simple, right? And if anybody ever says that, that's probably a red flag. But I will say that if it's really complex or too complex that you have a hard time understanding it, I would hold off and get a second opinion, because some of these products can seem really great, but they can be so complex in their fee structure that it ends up not being as good of an investment as you thought.
And thanks for sharing that, because I definitely want people to educate themselves when they're listening to this segment, but also to get an ROI, your return on investment, wherever you invest in. You want to make sure that it is profitable and it is giving you that return that you so much desire. So you're not necessarily putting all of your money in one place. And I would never tell someone to put all their eggs in one basket. So Tess, I know you mentioned you lost $80,000 in investments in your 20s. So what were some of the things that you did wrong back then? And what are you doing right now? Because I always think that we should always learn from our lessons and make sure we share that so people don't repeat what we went through.
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of just touched on a few of the things I did wrong. The first was that I invested with a financial advisor without understanding the fee structure. And that advisor charged me a percentage of everything I had invested, and the fees on that were pretty considerable. The other issue was that this person, who was a certified financial planner, wasn't necessarily investing in my interest, meaning they were investing in funds that had high fees, that were duplicates, things that they got commission on. And Genesis, this is where my knowledge of annuities comes in, because I was sold an annuity with this financial advisor, and I found out I was 27, and I found out later it was a better fit for somebody in their late 50s, early 60s. And so that annuity will be worth maybe $100 a month when I'm in my 60s. If I invested that same money, I'd have probably $500-$600 a month from that, just if I invested it in the stock market in something like a total stock market index fund, just because of the ability for that money to compound over time rather than sit in an annuity that would pay me back later on. So, you know, I didn't know that at the time. And that was one of the things that really frustrated me about the industry and why I wanted to become a financial coach and help other women, is because at the end of the day, no one cares about your money as much as you do. And I'm not saying also that all financial advisors are bad. There's some amazing ones. If you need some recommendations, I'm happy to share some. But I do think, regardless of whether you're working with an advisor or not, that every woman needs a basic education to understand basic investments, understand fees, and understand what they're getting into. And then they can decide whether that's something they want to do on their own, or they're just knowledgeable to choose someone really great that's going to really act in their best interest and they can feel confident to know what they're doing. So that was my biggest mistake, was just not getting a basic education where I could have spotted these things earlier. And this was a certified financial advisor. So unfortunately, just a certification isn't enough. I think, you know, it's our money. It's money that's going to help us have safety, security, freedom, ability to spend more time with family, ability to leave a toxic situation, whatever it is. And so I think it's really important that everyone get an education regardless of where you're at in your financial journey and in your path.
Thanks for sharing that. And I'm definitely going to look into the total stock index market. Is that how you say it?
Total stock market index.
Yeah. Fund. Total stock market index.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
Another question, because I know your avatar is women in their 30s and 40s. Why specifically did you target this age range and why not start sooner? Because we see more young women entering the workforce early on.
Yeah. So I will say, if you're listening to this and you are in your 20s, you should absolutely start investing as soon as possible, because the sooner you start, the easier it is, the less you have to contribute because of compound interest. So if you're not investing yet and you're in your 20s, even small amounts over time can make a huge difference. So I'd say get started now. The reason why I wanted to talk to women in their 30s and 40s is because, as we kind of touched on earlier, Genesis, money is really psychological. And a lot of women have limiting beliefs about not being smart enough to invest, that they don't deserve to have money, that it's greedy to want money, all these things that just are categorically untrue, but they're ingrained in us. And so when women haven't started investing as much as they want, or don't have as much money as they want in their 30s and 40s, which is mostly everyone I work with feels like they're behind, I want them to know that, first of all, it's okay. Like, give yourself some grace. We don't learn this information in high school or college, which is a shame and a whole nother issue that we could have a whole podcast episode on. But it's really important to give yourself some grace for wherever you are. And then at that point, figure out, okay, I'm in my 30s and 40s. It's crunch time now. If you get started, then you still have a decent opportunity to grow your wealth. Whereas the longer you wait, if you wait until your 50s and 60s, when you're closer to retirement, then it gets a lot harder. So starting as soon as possible is super important. But I just wanted to speak to women that are more mid-career, because there's a lot of money shame for women in that age, because they're like, oh, I wish I had learned this when I'm 20, but it's okay. You are where you are, start where you are and do the best you can. And the sooner you start, the better.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for sharing that. And I love the fact that you said just start now. And for those of you who may be listening and you're like, well, I don't have any extra money to start. Well, think about where you are spending your money. If you're spending your money at Starbucks, if you're spending your money on Netflix, any other subscriptions, you're spending your money getting your nails done, maybe if you stop that for a little bit and reintroduce where you're spending that money, like, okay, take that $5-6 of coffee and invest that in some investments, then you'll start to see growth there. Stop getting your nails done, y'all. I stopped getting my nails done for probably like 5-8 months because I was staying at home with the baby and I wasn't going anywhere, and I saved so much money. But now when you're in a corporate space and you have a certain corporate image, you don't want to look like rags to riches, or you just don't want to look anyhow. So then, versus getting my nails done every 2 weeks, I go once a month now, once a month. Even if they're grown out, I'll be like, okay, no one's going to be zooming in on my fingers right there. Yeah. So just really look at the things that you want and the things that you need, and know the differentiation between the two. And then also tailor your mindset around that. Because if you want to have that financial freedom, you want to have that wealth, you want to be set up, you need to stop some of the things that you're doing now in order to re-diversify where you're spending that. And I don't know if I said that correctly, Tess, but let me know what you think about that. Because I mean, it is a game changer once you really go through your budget and you analyze where you're spending your money, or even like printing out your bank statement and highlighting it. And you're like, holy moly, I spent that much on what?
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with you, Genesis. So inside, I have this free guide that I started to help women get started. It's called a Savvy Investor Starter Pack. And the first two things I start with are money mindset, the the reflection and awareness around where you might have limiting beliefs around your money. And then the second piece is exactly what you said, starting to figure out what's your cash flow look like? How is money coming in and out of your life? And are there adjustments you can make to still enjoy your life today, but pay yourself as well so that future you can have some money? So it is so important. I think a lot of people think that investing is complicated because you have to pick stocks and do this and do that. That's actually not the hardest part. It's pretty, once you get the basics, and I teach this in my four weeks in my small group coaching on how to choose retirement accounts and some basic index funds that you can create your own portfolio with. That stuff is actually not nearly as challenging as actually going through your money and your budget and figuring out where is your money going? Where can you make some adjustments? Are you really spending money that in a way that's in alignment with your values and what's important to you? And that is really crucial and should be one of the first steps before you start investing, because that's how you're going to find the money to invest. And then your money's going to compound faster the more you can contribute.
I love it. I love it. And I'm glad that I was right on the money there.
Yeah, you nailed it. Totally. So
what are like three money mindset tips that you want to share with the audience before we jump into the CTA?
Yeah. So the first thing I would say is inside the Savvy Investor Starter Pack that I have a list of questions that you should ask that are good to ask yourself about money. And that can be anything from like, what did my parents believe about money when I was growing up? How do I feel when I transact? Like when I buy something, how does that make me feel? Like you said, Genesis, printing out your bank statements and starting to figure out where your money's going, that is illuminating for most people. Most people think they know, and then you print it out and you're like, oh boy, like, that is different than I thought in my brain. So I think those are three tips to get started. Just have, you know, do some journaling and think about what's holding you back from investing or making more money so that you can invest, because usually we're not super aware of what those things are. And then when we can start to build awareness around that, we can reflect on some changes that we can make. So I would say start with your relationship with money and figure out what's holding you back. And then the second piece would be exactly what you said, just really understanding how you feel when you transact and if there's changes you can make, because once you have control of your money, that's very empowering. And then you're going to feel really confident to start investing and have full faith that you can build enough wealth to take care of yourself and your family, no matter what happens.
Yeah. And y'all, hey, if you're going through that drive through today, think about instead of going through the drive-thru, because the price at these drive-thrus, y'all,
it's insane.
Yes, like I literally went to Sam's Club today, and I'm a Sam's Club and a Costco member, so don't get it twisted, y'all. And I was like, I'm gonna buy this rotisserie chicken, and you'll be surprised how many meals that rotisserie chicken can make, like, totally, versus like just hitting up a Chick-fil-A or a Whataburger or whatever, because I mean, it's adding up. And if you're feeding like a family of three, a family of four, like think about how much you're spending. And that's something you can easily cut out, and you can meal prep on a Saturday or a Sunday and just portion it out, do it for 3 days until Wednesday, and then prep again, or just do it for the whole week, and you'll see that the amount that's going out is actually staying in, and then you're retaking that and saving it over here and investing it, and it's compounding. So think about that. That's an easy
love that advice.
So Tess, what is your call to action for the audience today?
Yes. So if you're a woman in your 30s and 40s, and this sounds like a great idea to take control of your money, get back in the driver's seat and start building your wealth so you can live life on your terms. I mentioned it a couple times in the episode, but I have a free Savvy Investor Starter Pack that has everything from questions to ask yourself to help really improve your money mindset. It has all kinds of financial metrics for you to calculate so you can figure out how money's coming in and out of your life, what you need to retire. And then it also includes an entire video on the most common investing mistakes that people make, including a bunch that I made as well that I learned from. So, and more, there's retirement account information, there's calculator tools. It's a huge guide. It's like over 20 pages long, I think, at this point. So make sure you grab that. It'll be in the show notes, or you can go to moneyconfidentcoach.com/savvy.
I love it. And then also, Tess mentioned early on in the segment is to check out some of the videos that she has on her Instagram, which is Wealth with Tess, and she's giving a lot of free knowledge and free content out there. So go show her some digital currency, hit that like, leave her a comment, ask her questions, and etc. And then also connect with her on her website. I mean, we are here to grow and support one another so we don't make the same mistakes. And if someone has already made that mistake and they've surpassed it, why not follow that blueprint and make sure you're not tripping, slipping, and falling over that whenever they're already giving you the playbook and the blueprint. So I'm so grateful, Tess, that you chose to spend some time with me and just drop this education and inspiration as well as motivation with the Gemmers today. I mean, it's just incredible. And I just want to salute you for what you're doing in your field on and off the screen, because sometimes people don't realize how much work that it takes someone to put into something. And, you know, you're not always asking for those accolades, but I definitely want to give you your flowers while they could bloom, metaphorically speaking, and tell you are a rock star. And thank you for just crushing it in your area.
Thank you. That's so nice. Thank you so much, Genesis. I appreciate it. I appreciate the support so much. And as Genesis said, yeah, feel free to reach out to me too. I actually do check all my DMs on Instagram at Wealth with Tess. You can shoot me a message if you have any questions. It might take me a moment to respond, but I will respond. And everyone, if you haven't, make sure you write a review for Genesis's amazing podcast, because I love your podcast. There's been so many great guests. I've learned so much. So thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. And audience, I'm going to leave you with some affirmations today that I want you to recite. Say, I am wealthy. I am whole. I am complete. I am prosperous. I am financially free. I am worthy of money. I am a steward of my finances. I know where I am. I know where I'm going, and I will achieve all of my wildest dreams, and those dreams will become realities. Today, tomorrow, and future, I am leaving a legacy, and I was created on purpose for a purpose. And I know my relationship with money now, and I will replicate that for future generations to come. I am wealthy, whole, and complete, and money does not have me. I have money, and I will have a ROI, return on investment, by making smart investments. So I hope you sit in that affirmation and that confirmation and walk in it, believe in it, and share this with somebody else, because we aren't meant to do life alone. We're meant to do life in a community. So my big ask is for brand sponsors. Yes, it is paid sponsorship, because it does take monetary resources to fuel the mission and movement. But until then, check this segment out. Make sure you give it a thumbs up and leave a review. And until the next time, next guest, I am signing out with peace, love, and lots and lots and lots of your sweetness. Give yourself a big hug and sit in your present today, tomorrow, and future more.